Well, I am a little reluctant to preach today because I'm going to be preaching on holiness, because that's what the text says. And I just tell you what the text says. Be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I never liked hearing sermons on holiness because they always felt like arm twisting to me. And I've preached those sermons before, and I'm really good at that, actually. I can preach arm-twisting holiness. But I hope to whet your appetite a little by showing you, instead of what you should be doing, what you should be doing, what you should be doing, to showing you what you're missing. To give you an appetite for holiness. Anyway, our text words begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy. In all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The very first word to see in our text is the therefore. Because of this great salvation in Christ, because of all that He has done for you already, because of the gift, the sovereign grace gift of your salvation, therefore, because of what God has already done for you and in you, because of the miracle of grace that you are, therefore, be holy. Grace received motivates holy living. And to preach on holiness without grace is just going to seem like arm twisting. But grace received is the prerequisite for holiness. In fact, one person put it this way, the imperatives of Christian living always begin with therefore. In light of what God has already done. Therefore, Peter does not begin to exhort Christian pilgrims until he has celebrated the wonders of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the importance of that little word, therefore. Because you are already a miracle of grace and you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Because you've already had a taste of the glory and the greatness of God. Taste more of Him. Enter more deeply into His love and into His favor. Enter more deeply into His blessing. That's what holiness is. So we, as it were, we unpack the grace of God given to us in our salvation. We, some assembly required, we put together our salvation. We become holy. Salvation is given to you as a free gift, but we still have to work it out. So Peter here is calling for grace-inspired holiness. But again, I said this before, a typical reaction, well, this is going to be a sermon on holiness, and it's just going to make me feel guilty because I haven't done everything right. Because I know what is right. I know what I should be doing, and the pastor's just going to remind me all the things I should be doing, and I'm just going to feel worse. I hope that's not the way you leave. You might, but I hope that's not the direction I'm taking you. I always felt like a failure after those kind of sermons. Felt chided and somewhat dirty. Because we often think of holiness as something we are not. But God says, I have made you holy. I have taken you from a world of sin and I have made you my own and I've set you apart and I've given you my Spirit. And I am with you. I am not leaving you alone. But you are my child and I want you to be holy because I want what is best for you. And so I strive with you that you would be holy. We all know that we should be holy, but it's so difficult and it is beyond our strength. And it is beyond our ability. And the truth is that it is. Holiness is beyond our ability, but God has given us His Spirit. He has given us His Word. He has given us His help. But the way that we typically think, even as Christians, is we sort of settle into a pattern or a level, a degree of holiness that we're comfortable with. we sort of draw a compromise with God. You know, we say to God, I want to be holy, but it's thus far and no further. You know, I want to be this holy, not that much holy. I don't want to be radical. I don't want to be crazy. I don't want all my friends to think I'm nuts. So I'll be this much holy. And so we draw a compromise and we sort of settle into a pattern of existence. And we never grow in the Christian life. We never enter more deeply into seeing the greatness and the glory of God that we might be missing. So we need to have our appetite, as it were, wet for the holiness of God. But sometimes we reach that point where we look at holiness and we say, well, you know what holiness really is? Holiness is me saying no to myself, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to say no to myself. The things that I want are the things that I want. And to be holy, I have to say no to those things. So how do you, this is a question for the salesman, how do you get someone to buy something that he doesn't want and doesn't think he needs? I was a salesman once, and I was so bad at it, I became a preacher. I think getting someone to buy what they don't want and what they don't think they need is sort of the preacher preaching on holiness. But how do you get them to change when they don't want it, they don't think they need it? You need to change their desires. You need to change their wants. You need to change what they're really after. In other words, you need to show them the reward, the glory of holiness. You need to show them the greatness of God. You need to show them, at least in part, some of the things that they're missing. Because you're not following hard after God. You're not learning who He is. You're not going into the depths of His love and of His grace. You're not seeing the beauty and the wonder behind everything. That's what we need to do. We need to change your wants. Do you want to see the glory of God? Do you want to see His power working in you? Do you want to see His power and His grace and His love working through you in the lives of others? That's holiness. I want to see God in all of His glory. That's what should motivate us. So we have to change people from the inside out. And that's why it's so important to begin this message with the therefore. Because God has already done that. God has already changed the Christian from the inside out. He has already given you new tastes and new wants and new desires. He has shown you that only He can ultimately satisfy your soul. And now He is calling you out saying, follow on to know Me. There are greater things yet to discover about who I am and about My love and about My plan, about My purpose. There is nothing in all of this world that will satisfy you other than Me, because that's the way I've made you. So this call to holiness is a call to joy. It is a call to understand God, who He really is, and really understand you. So holiness is not really saying no to myself. It's much more saying yes to God. Holiness is not denying myself good things, but it is actually striving for better things. Holiness is not an unpleasant duty, but it is pursuing our greatest delight. It is pursuing the thing that will most satisfy our souls. So holiness is finding ultimate joy in God, and it is striving to reflect His character. So we are holy. As Christians, that's the therefore. We are set apart by God. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And now, because all of those things are true, we need to become who we are. We need to become obedient children. That's the way Peter puts it. So therefore, because of this great salvation, because you are saved, because holiness is God's work in us, it is God's work with us, and it is a work that He will not do without us, we are called to be holy by the grace that He has already given. We are to respond to the Master's calling. We are to gird up the loins of our minds. That's the way the King James puts it. The way we had it is in the ESV is preparing your minds for actions. But this girding up the loins of your mind, it's a picture of the long flowing robes that they used to wear. And they could walk around and look pretty nice in those long flowing robes, but whenever they had to do something difficult, whenever they had to run, whenever they had to get serious about some kind of labor, they had to gird up the loins. They had to tie that stuff up and tuck it in their belt. And that meant they were getting serious. They were getting to serious business. And Peter is telling us that striving to be holy is serious business. It is going to take some effort. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to prepare for work. Christian maturity doesn't just take time. It takes effort. When your children are sloughing off at school, you tell them, you got to take this seriously. When you're an athlete and you're not really putting in the time and the effort to succeed at whatever athletic competition you're part of, other people, your coach, will come alongside of you and say, you're not doing it right, you're not taking this seriously. What does a Christian pastor do when people aren't taking holiness seriously? Can I tell you that you're not? Can I confront you with that? Can I be your spiritual coach? Or is that offensive to say you're not taking this seriously? I asked somebody recently, I said, can you tell the difference between Christians and non-Christians? And the answer was, I thought, really insightful. It was, you know, there's a lot of people who say they're Christians, but they're really just pretending. They're not really taking it seriously. But the people who take it seriously, you can tell a difference. You can tell that they are striving on to know the Lord. You can tell that they are striving for holiness. You can tell that they have gotten a taste for the living God and they want more. And so they strive for holiness. But it will take effort. To be holy in a fallen world, we will be odd. We will be different. We won't conform to the rest of the world. People will look at us and see us strange. Not only is it easy to tell non-Christian from a thriving Christian, but the non-Christian can tell that we're different too. And they won't like our differences. Because in some sense, if we're striving to live a godly and a righteous life in Christ Jesus, our lives, just the way that we live, even if we live in all joy and peace and happiness, and we don't confront anybody, we're not offensive to anybody, they will be offended by our holy conduct. And we can't control that. But there will be a difference because we are striving on to know the Lord. Holiness, if I can get you to believe this, holiness is fighting against a premature contentment in this life only. Don't be content with the glitz and the glitter that this world can offer you. There is something better. There is something more substantial. And His name is Jesus. To follow on to know Him, to understand what God was saying to you in Him, to understand what Jesus says about the God that we know and that we worship. There is more to taste of Him. There is greater joy to enter into. So, I think Peter is saying this, clear your schedule to be holy. Give it effort. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's what the text says. Say no even to other good things. Don't allow the good in life to squeeze out the necessary or even to squeeze out the better and the best. Strive for holiness. Labor at it. Make this priority number one. I know how to lose weight. Look at me. But I haven't done it. Right? I haven't done it. I know what I'm supposed to do. I think a lot of Christians, they know what they're supposed to do. I've got a brand new elliptical machine. I've used this 3 sermons in a row. There was one time I preached on Oreo double stuffed cookies for 10 sermons. So maybe I'll set a record with this. But I know that I have to dress to get on that elliptical. I have to dress on the right clothing. And I know I have to get either my iPad or my television ready so I can distract myself when I'm experiencing such pain. And I have to clear my schedule, but having done all of those things, I still need to do it. I need to walk with God. I need to spend time alone with Him. I need to explore the treasures and the joys that there are in knowing God and in walking with Him. This is the only thing that will satisfy my soul. And so I pour myself into it. It is priority number one. He also says, be sober-minded. Don't be intoxicatingly distracted by other things. Be sober-minded. Be focused. Have goals and don't settle for lesser aims. Have a clarity of thoughts and direct your energies toward this goal. That's what we do when we're studying in college, right? We pour ourselves into the studies. Or when we're an athlete, we pour ourselves into being an athlete. When you're going to be holy, you need to pour yourself into it. That's why Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, strive, prepare for action, be sober-minded, be self-controlled, and build on the therefore, on the grace foundation. Set your hope, he says, fully on future grace. Listen to the way that he puts it. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Maybe I can put it more simply and boldly. Focus on the reward of knowing Jesus and all that that means. Focus on the benefit. Focus on the joy. Focus on the soul satisfaction that you will have in the presence of God. Imagine that you won the lottery. And it wasn't a little thing, it was a big thing. It was such a big thing that they said, hey, in 2 days we're going to give you the check and we're going to make sort of a public announcement because you won the lottery. So in 2 days, you know that you're going to receive a 7-digit check. Whew. And there's certain things that you will do in those 2 days before that public announcement. In fact, I've done some thinking about this, even though I've never bought a lottery ticket, but I know what I would do. I would quit my job, although I can't say that I'm a pastor. I would buy a new suit. I'd probably hire a financial consultant. I would change my phone number. I would plan a really nice vacation, and I wouldn't tell my relatives. Maybe you would do something different, I don't know. But the point is that in light of that future certainty, I'm going to enter into a large sum of money in just a few days. You act differently. Set your hope fully upon the grace that will be brought to you. It is a guaranteed certainty, and because of that certainty, we make different decisions now. Our present is altered by this glorious future hope. So we are to do far more thinking on glory, more thinking on perfection. I think the longer that I live anyway in this sinful fallen world, the more I long for glory. Sometimes I say to myself, these are the things that make me long for heaven, or these are the things that make me long for home, because I'm not home yet. And we're not home yet. Think more on glory. And then practice holiness as obedient children. God has ushered us into his family. And in essence, he has given us the family rules. As Christians, this is who we are. And this is what we do. It's a family thing, and you're included. It's the mark of the family that we are obedient, that we follow on to know the Lord. And in part, that is saying no to yourself. In part, that is saying no to the passions of your former ignorance. If I can change the word, the wants and desires of your former ignorance. You know better now. You have tasted something sure, true, and everlasting. You can't go back to something else. I used to go to Burger King all the time, and it shows. I said in a sermon once that I had a suit by Armani and a body by Burger King. But I used to go to Burger King, but then I discovered Subway. In fact, it was the chicken bacon ranch. And it was slightly better for me than a Big Mac or a Whopper. And it was less expensive. At least I thought it was better for me. So I stopped going to Burger King, and now I'm going to Subway all the time. And I'll never go back to Burger King again very much. The passions of our former ignorance. You know better now. You know what you ought to do. You know what is truly soul-satisfying. And nothing in this world can satisfy the deepest needs of your soul. It is knowing God and pursuing Him that will satisfy your soul, that will give you a rest and a joy and a peace that Scripture says passes all understanding. So pursue holiness because of the things that you are missing, the things that are yet to attain about the glory and the goodness of God. There are higher joys and there are greater pleasures. Don't settle for anything less. So you are called to holiness, and you are called to holiness by the Holy One. And He tells you, God tells you in this text, be holy, for I am holy. And sometimes we hear that as saying, as coming from an overbearing father. You shouldn't do that. You should be like me. That's the way we hear the call to holiness. It's like an abusive father. That's what we sometimes think of when He calls us to holiness, because our view of holiness is so skewed. I have grandchildren now, and I want what is best for them. I want them to know joy and peace. I want them to know happiness, but more joy than happiness. I want them to know God. And so I will strive that my grandchildren know Him, because there's nothing else more worth knowing. And so I will encourage my grandchildren to strive for holiness, to strive for the best that there is in life. Our Father in heaven, that's what He's doing when He calls us, my son, my daughter, come closer to me. Enter more deeply into my love, into my favor, into my blessing. The rules that I give to you, the no's that I say to you, are for your good. Just receive them and be obedient children, because I have the best intention for you. Even when we as parents speak harshly to our children, it is for their benefit because we love them. Even when God the Father calls us to holiness, He is saying, this is the best thing. I want you to have the best. So I am calling you to myself. I am calling you to greater holiness. German Shepherds, anything else is just a dog. You could Mercedes-Benz, anything else is just a car. Holiness, anything else is less than the best. So strive for holiness. Our Father is not out to condemn us. Our Father is out to bless us. And not just to bless us, but our Father in heaven is out to maximize our blessing. And so He calls us to holiness. He calls us to greater things. But I can't be perfectly holy. You know, I will never arrive at perfection in this life, so why even try? I won't reach perfection in golf. In fact, no one ever has. No one has ever made a perfect score in golf. You can always do one better. I saw a guy in the tournament yesterday. He had a putt for 59, and he missed it from 5 feet. He had a 60. What a lousy score. But there is, as we strive to know God, as we strive to walk in holiness, there is growth and there is progress, and there are Easter eggs along the way. There are blessings. There are treasures that we are pursuing. So yes, we can make genuine progress, and we can know genuine peace and rest in following on to know the Lord. So I am out to change your wants and desires. I'm out to focus them on something greater, something better, something more soul-satisfying. And you know what it is? It is a long, steady, knowledgeable, heartfelt look at the Lord Jesus Christ. It is seeing Him as He really is, and then following Him. That's what holiness is. It is walking with your best friend because you love him and he loves you back. That's what holiness is. It isn't saying no to yourself. It is saying yes to the best things in life. So don't settle for anything less. Holiness is a quest for the best, for the purest, for the highest. It is aiming for the highest glory, the highest beauty, the greatest honor. And it is as we see holiness, as we see holiness in Jesus, that we will desire to be holy, that we will desire to be like Him. I learned to play sports by watching other people who knew how to do it better than I did. Those who played tennis, I would watch for a while, or golf, or any sport for that matter. I just watched those who were really good at it and tried to imitate them. Jesus is really good at holiness. Just look at Him. Look at what He has done. Look at His heart, His character. And as you see Him, you see the heart of God, the Father. And so we strive to be like Him. We strive to be like Christ. And we do so because that is the greatest reward. And we sometimes think that holiness and striving after holiness is like obnoxious chores that you have to do. We got to burn the leaves, got to do the dishes, got to clean the bathroom. These are things that are kind of unpleasant, but you just got to do them, and that's sort of what holiness is like. No. Holiness is like going on your favorite vacation. Holiness is like a chicken bacon ranch footlong. Holiness is like a dish or two of your favorite ice cream. If I can get you to see that, if I can get you to embrace that, the rest is easy. To strive to be holy is to reward yourself. It is to enter into blessing. It is to enter into what we were created to be. And it is the only thing that will satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Now, so I've really encouraged you to strive after holiness, to gird up the loins of your mind, to fight against the passions of your former ignorance. These are all things that you are to do, but I'm not preaching works here. I'm preaching therefore. Because of what God has already done for you in Christ, He has changed you from the inside out. Now, follow on to know Him. Walk with Him. Holiness is something greatly to be desired. It isn't a duty that I have to perform. It is a pure delight that I get to enter into. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be holy. Be holy. Follow on to know the Lord. There is nothing in this life greater or more satisfying than seeing Jesus as He really is and striving to be like Him. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, give us a vision for life and for all that it can be. Give us a vision for Your astonishing love and Your life-changing grace, that we would find our soul's rest and joy and peace in Jesus, and that we would strive to know more of it. Lord, we have a taste now for who You are. And we want to enter more deeply into Your love. We want to know Your work in us and through us in the lives of others. So, Lord, we strive to be holy. We long to be like You. We long to have our soul at rest in Your presence and in Your service. We long to know the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. So help us, dear Lord, to walk with You and to see You as You really are. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.